Our gospel today is a picture of our spiritual life, really. We are the blind man. Last week, we were the woman at the well. We're all the major characters in John's gospel. When you read John's gospel, always try to find a character that associates with our humanness. Put yourself in that place, in that condition. What's God trying to tell me? How do I identify with the blind man, or with his parents, or the Pharisees, for that matter? Look at any character as you read the Gospels and think, what is it about the human condition that I am about too? The blind man is so fortunate today, of course. He's been given a gift that changed his life. He has had profound encounter with Christ. And he's grateful and thankful that nothing and nobody's going to ruin his day or his life anymore. See, deep encounters with Christ change us forever. Let's look at real blindness, though, the physical part. It takes time. It takes time to understand what we're seeing. Imagine never seeing a thing in your life. All you heard was sights and sounds, or sounds and touching. Look into the sky. What do you see? What's that up there, that white thing floating by? They have to learn everything. They have to learn colors. They don't know a color. They don't know the grass. What's that thing running along here? Oh, it's a dog? That's what I've been hearing? Everything has to be learned. So God, or Jesus, not only healed him of his blindness, he also gave him understanding, I think, of things like that. People or professionals today say it would take years to go from sight or from blindness to sight and learn what we know that we take for granted. But this is not the point. It's the spiritual side that is the point. It's original sin. We're all born blind spiritually. Spiritually, we're born blind. And we have to learn as we go along in life and we progressively get more and more closer to God, closer to understanding. That's what it's about. So what does this blind man do today? He is given his sight. And what happens? He is immediately thrown into chaos. He's being yelled at by the Pharisees, the scribes. He meets his parents for the first time. And is it a time of joy? No, it's a time, ask him, I don't know anything about him. It was a very chaotic time for them. So instead of being happy and ecstatic, his parents fear that they're going to be forced from the synagogue. It's kind of a sad story in that sense. There should be joy, but no, there is division. For us, faith is like going from blindness to sight. It takes time to learn the teachings of Jesus, the church. For us, we advance in the relationship of God. Faith is progression. The blind man today seems to get that grace of understanding. We all struggle and we all learn. That's what grace is about. In the whole of Scripture, blindness is a symbol of sin. The man today was born blind. It's a picture of us, born into original sin. We're all born blind like that. And until Christ comes into our life, we're blind, just like the man today. We're victims of original sin, unable to see. But the more we allow Jesus to become a part of our life, the more we can see, because light is entering the soul, the more times we take communion, reconciliation, pray, learn about God, the more we are able to see society. Even the church is a melting pot of blindness all the way to clear seeing and all the points in between. The more we receive that light, the better off we are. See, the Pharisees have become blinded today, and that's what Jesus is pointing out to them. They become blind. Jesus threatened their stature, of course. And they attacked Jesus as a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath. Oh, the misery. What did they do on the Sabbath? They created division. That's a lot of hard work. Aren't we exhausted from a divided society? That is intense hard work to throw division. And that's what they worked harder than Jesus ever did on that Sabbath day, and they didn't see it. They didn't get it because Jesus says, "You are blind. You are blind." We must always be on guard against what the Pharisees were about today. And it happens, and it easily happens. Easily believe that God changes. We see that in our society, at least I perceive that in our society. Especially the younger generation in college, they say, "We are enlightened now. We know more." Well, that's what the Pharisees said. We're the ones who are enlightened. God has changed because of us. What does our culture do? We reject God because we are enlightened and we are becoming more and more enlightened. We say God changes with us. No, God doesn't change with us. That is a heresy of the top order. God is eternal. God knows the truth. But we change and we expect God to change too. And if we expect God to change, and that's the God we worship, that's not a God worth worshiping. We have to worship the God who told us the truth, and it's already there. We follow God. God doesn't follow us. That's an important thing. That's what the Pharisees were kind of about today. God does what we say God does. That's not quite the way it goes. God does not see like human beings see. That's our first reading. Remember the story, King David. He was sitting out in the fields with the sheep while his seven brothers were there. One of them was going to be anointed. But Samuel said, "No, the one who's going to be anointed is not here. Do you have another son?" "Oh, yes, he's the young one. He's out in the fields with the sheep. Bring him." And that is the one that was chosen by God. Because God didn't look at the older brother saying, "Oh, what a fine group of guys." He was looking at David's heart. He knew David's heart. David made more mistakes than anyone in the Bible. But he also was the greatest hero of the Bible because he always conformed to God. And he didn't expect God to conform to him. We see like God, or we are in risk of blinding ourselves. So let us pray for our own sight.